Yeah. You ready? Let's do it.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Final Play Podcast. This week, week 17 of the NFL pod. Talk about the week 17 games. Most likely Black Monday, because the coasters are going to, a lot of coasters are going to get booted.
Black Sunday night, not Black Monday.
Well, Black Sunday. And probably touch on the preview of the wildcard games that are happening next week.
Should be some good wildcard games next week, I reckon.
We'll go over the games. The Jets beat the Bills 13-6. That's probably the first one I want to touch on. The Bengals are winning against the Browns 33-23. the Packers beating the Lions 23-20. The Chiefs beating the Chargers 31-21. The Bears beating the Vikings 21-19.
Oh, killer.
The Dolphins beating the Patriots 27-24. The Falcons beating the Buccaneers 28-20. The Saints smashing the Panthers 42-10. Cowboys demoralizing, I guess, the Redskins 47-16. The Broncos beating the Raiders 16-15. The Rams beating the Cards 31-24. The Eagles getting over the Giants 34-17. The Jags beating the Colts 38-20. Ravens beating the Steelers 28-10. The Titans, another impressive win, 35-14 against the Texans. And the last game is the 49ers, probably one of the best games I've seen, I think, this year, 26-21 against the Seahawks.
That was a mad game, and there was a lot on the line in that game as well, you know, as opposed to when it comes to seeding for the NFC for teams to get the first round bye or not. So that
number one seed. So
That's right. Yeah, that's right. They win. They were the number one seed, and everything goes through San Francisco.
Well, let's touch on that game. It was a great game to watch. It was a really good game to watch. Look, Jimmy G was impressive. He didn't. I mean, A&M for 285. So he didn't really put a foot wrong. I don't know what happens with Seattle at home. They seem, if anything,
that's their fourth loss at home.
So they're 4-4 at home, and
I don't understand that.
4-4 home, and I think they're 6-7-1 away. So, looking at it, it's probably a little bit of a little bit of a blessing in the disguise that if they're going to play away.
Seattle are playing better at home than what they are better on the road than what they are at home.
That's exactly right. I guess, San Francisco came away with a win, which is great. I still think they're missing offensive go forward. Not so much receiving, because you've got George Kittle there, and Deebo played pretty good, but the rushing to me is still something I think they need to work on.
It's just because his name's Deebo, that's all. Like, that is just that's innovative parents right there. You know, obviously they've seen the movie Friday, and they love Deebo. So it's I think that's one of the best. That's one of the best names in the NFL. That is fantastic. Deebo Samuel. He's probably not as menacing as the real Deebo.
The Seahawks, that was the first game back for Mr. Marshawn Lynch. So, he played all right. He was okay.
I don't think he gave them the boost that they probably needed. And I think next week he'll be better for the run, because obviously he hasn't played all year. Yeah. He'll be better for the run. Statistically, he wasn't that terrific. So, like you said, you know, that will be, and that's, I mean, they're just completely decimated at running back. So that's, they got no other option. So as long as Russell Wilson, can keep on keeping on, In the passing game, and as long as he can be an effective rusher, you know, in the run game, and they can probably do some design run plays for him, I think that will worry. I think that will worry the team that they're going to play next week. Yeah. So I think yes, they'll be it'll be interesting to see what the NFC, you know, how the NFC bracket pans out as it comes to the playoffs, which obviously start next Saturday in the States, so Sunday for us.
I mean, and just moving on from that game, both quarterbacks threw no interceptions, so it's always good to see. I guess it's not great to see in terms of like a fan. You know, I mean, I love seeing interceptions because it's just the run against the play. But it was
That's right.
It was great.
Jimmy G has been a little susceptible to throwing the odd interception or two, which, you know, and that'll do his confidence the world of good. You know, not throwing a pick. Unlike a certain other quarterback that plays for a red team that's in the NFC that just loves throwing interceptions.
Well, let's move to that game. So, Mr. Jameis Winston has got one of the weirdest records that I've ever seen in NFL history. He's got the record for 30 touchdowns and 30 interceptions in the same year. That's a 30 for 30.
That's a 30 for 30 right there.
Yeah, that's right. That's a 30 for 30 right there. That could make that in a year.
That's right. New ESPN 30 for 30. Jameis Winston 30 and 30.
And I think I think it was 30 and 29, and I think it was like the last 5 or 10 seconds, and he threw a pick six, didn't he?
That was it. His very last throw of the season was in the first play of overtime, and he throws a pick six.
Yeah.
The very first, they win the toss, say yes, we will receive the ball. And, yeah, he just proceeds to go out there and goes, well, I may as well just kill this game right now, and I'll throw a pick six. And they lose the game.
I loved his post.
It's unbelievable. That's been Jameis Winston this season. Like, that has just been a typical Jameis Winston this season. And he sort of come out and said, you know, in the post-game presser afterwards, if I just cut out my turnovers, I can be the best quarterback in the league. He threw for 5,200 yards this year.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Like, you know, thanks to Captain Obvious. Like, yeah, if I cut out the turnovers, 30 interceptions. Opponents have scored. This, you know, obviously this is stealing statistics off ESPN and other, which I very much am grateful for. That opponents have scored 112 points off Jameis Winston turnovers. Just him. 112 points.
Yeah. I mean, that post-interview was hilarious. He's just like, you know. He goes, you know what I have to work on? We all know. He goes, just look at my numbers. I'm balling. He says I'm balling.
I'm balling,
that's
baby.
Awesome. Who says I'm balling,
baby?
You know super cool. He's super confident coming out of that post interview. That was awesome.
And that's fine. See, yeah. That's the thing. Like, his rookie contract's over now. So where do they? Yeah, you know, we could probably touch on it after we go through the games. What happens to him?
Well, I don't know. Like, would it be silly not of Tampa Bay to sign him, or I would say if anything, that if they don't find a decent quarterback, I'd say they'll put him on a franchise
they'd
tag.
They'd probably franchise tag him and draft the quarterback.
Yeah, I think that makes it more sensible option of franchise tagging him, because it's hard to put all your eggs in his basket. It really is.
Well, you can't at the moment. You simply can't. Well, as of now, the draft order, we could probably touch on that a little bit too later. But they at this point in time, they will get the 14th pick in the 2020 draft.
Okay. Oh yeah. Okay. So
it's just semi high.
Probably about a time when there'd be at least one quarterback in sort of that, but It depends. Is that the? I mean, is that what they go over after? Because their offenses, except for Jameis, they're offensive great. They've got wide receiver weapons. Right. They've got a decent running back.
Exactly.
You know, it's their defense.
And it's the same thing. You could probably protect him a little bit more. You know, so he's not under so much duress once he passes, and you know, you could. I think it's just a point of just trying to reel him in a little bit and just not being so disgracefully reckless with the ball and just hoiking it all over the field. Like, I think that's the Achilles heel of him. He just, whether he can't help himself or I don't know what it is. Like, you know, obviously he threw for two interceptions in this game, but he wasn't that great in this game. He only threw for 204 yards. He was 13 for 24. Like, he was pretty ordinary. And that's just not the numbers that he's been putting up this year.
Just with the Falcons, they finished strong. They were 1-8 at the start of the season.
They finished really well. If they didn't have the horrendous start to the season, they could have actually maybe had a shot of getting, you know, getting it in the wild card race.
Well, that's what I feel like it's a disappointing season for the Falcons.
Of course it is.
Because you know, there was a, I think because there was a wildly, you know, except for Drew Brees, I suppose, but the NFC South quarterbacks were just wildly inconsistent, you know, a la Jameis Winston and Cam Newton.
Right. Newton only played two or three games in the season, and they went to Kyle Allen, and then they ended up going to Will Greer.
You could even look at Drew Brees. They finished great, but he didn't have his greatest season.
Drew Brees was out for a couple of weeks, you know, five weeks or whatever this season. So
and Matt Ryan wasn't out, so you know, I don't think they capitalized on it. But so the next game, the Dolphins beating the Patriots. denying the Patriots first round bye for the first time, I think, since 2000, I think I read.
2009. Like, I think it's 2009 that the last time that the Pats didn't have a first round bye, which is just, that's just ridiculous. Like, honestly,
I it was mind blowing. I mean, I think the defense the Patriots defense this year was outstanding. And, on the back of Stephon Gilmore. Stephon Gilmore, I guess if we touch on this later, I think he's leading Canada for Defensive Player of the Year. But
he's there or thereabouts for me, but I have somebody else in mind. But yeah, he's much up there.
But I guess it was just ridiculous for the fact of, I don't know, maybe they're just exhausted or what, but it's just Ryan Fitzpatrick in that last, they had needed 80 yards to get a touchdown, and they got that 80 yards in about three or four plays.
He just marched, and that's the thing. That New England defense has been terrific all year, and Ryan Fitzpatrick just marches them down the field, 13 plays, 75 yards, and gets the TD. Like, you just don't think that's going to happen, but it happened. No. Like, that's Fitzmagic at his you know, at the absolute peak. That's unbelievable.
I don't think it was actually the fault, the team's fault. I think I just don't think they were coached well that game.
It was an oversight game. That was okay. Yeah. We've got the Dolphins this week, and they're looking forward to the playoffs. But what that's done now is that's cost them the first week bye.
Yep.
And they have in this run, I'm pretty sure, I don't know if I've heard this right, but I'm pretty sure they haven't in all their 400 championships that they've won over the last 20 years, all of them have come with a first week bye. They haven't won the Super Bowl without the luxury of a first week bye. So they haven't essentially done it the hard way. I hope I heard that right. Like, surely they would have run the table and gone through wildcard weekend and won the Super Bowl, but it just sounds like a bit of a bizarre stat that they haven't won out of their six championships. Six?
Yeah.
What have they got? Six or seven? Yeah, they're six.
Yeah.
So they haven't advanced, or they haven't won a Super Bowl going through the wild card round.
And if you look at their offensive sort of weapons, I don't see them winning next week anyway. So they're
struggling. Well, that's struggling. What I mean. Hopefully they get Mohamed Sanu back playing better next week. You know, Philip Dorsett, Julian Edelman.
He must have an injury. I don't know. Like, he's too hot and cold. There must be something lingering with him. He's a young guy, but
no, I don't know. That's right. He's Mr. Reliable for Tom Brady. So, you know, and obviously they don't have Gronk to throw to, so that's going to hurt him. It's a matter of they've got a heap of number twos, but they don't have a go-to guy. So Tom Brady's going to have to spread the love around if they're going to knock off, which will be end up being Tennessee, in that wild card game. I think it's the late game on the Saturday night, next week. So they're gonna have to spread the love, and they're gonna have to try and do what Tennessee does well, and that's run the ball. Like, they're gonna have to get a good workout from Sony Michel, and James White. And even Rex Burkhead. Like, Rex Burkhead's been a feature of their running game lately as well, running and passing game.
Yeah, I think they've come in with a whimper into these wild cards, and I don't, see them progressing.
Offer, though, like, you can't.
It's hard to write.
You can't discount that.
Teams
don't just walk into Foxborough and win. Like, they just don't. So,
but Tom Brady's not getting any younger. So
no, and he has been very ordinary probably the last, I don't know, 8 weeks, like even the last half of the season.
Yep.
So he needs that protection. He needs the time in the pocket to be able to pass the ball. So that's, I mean, we'll see what happens next week against Tennessee. So, we may as well sort of, not dwell on that game too much.
No, the Bengals beating the most overhyped team this year, the Browns, 33-23, and probably, I'm assuming, Andy Dalton's last game as quarterback. I'm assuming that will be
in the stands. There was a Joe Burrow banner hanging up.
Yeah. why not?
Andy Dalton wasn't terrific.
No.
The main fuel to that fire was Joe Mixon, and he has been great the last month, 5 weeks.
Yeah. Yep.
He has been terrific. Like, 26 rushes for 162 yards and a couple of rushing touchdowns. Andy Dalton rushed for a touchdown.
Why not?
Oh my god, the Browns just stink. Like, they're just awful.
Yeah. Well, that'll be
Baker Mayfield, 12 for 27. And okay, fair enough. 3 of those 12 completions were touchdowns, but he had 3 interceptions as well.
The only shining one in that game to me for them was Jarvis Landry, and that's why he's in the Pro Bowl. So
but he only had 2 catches though.
Yeah, but that's not his fault.
No,
is it? Or is that Baker Mayfield?
I get that as well, but to me, man, he's making good receivers look ordinary. That's hard to do.
Yeah, that's exactly. And is that him then, or is that Freddie Kitchens?
It could be a mixture. It could be a mixture of things, whether it's, scheme, the complete just unbelievable regression that Baker Mayfield has shown. Is it offensive line? He can't get protected. He's under too much pressure. Once the ball's been snapped, there was statistics earlier in the season that he's a quarterback that hangs on to the ball more than half a second longer than most quarterbacks. And it doesn't seem like a lot, but half a second when you're under pressure is a lot. So, a disaster of a season for Cleveland has come to an end.
Yeah.
And it looks like they are just going to, it just looks like they're just going to go a complete and utter rebuild again, which is just,
I think we'll touch on sort of that sort of, I guess, in another one. With the Bengals, yeah, look, they most likely will pick Joe Burrow, obviously. I mean, that's pretty much locked in.
What are they going to do? Are they going to start him straight away? Like, he's going to get pulled. He's going to get smacked around something chronic.
That's right. So the next thing I was going to bring up is that I think the next pick that they'll have to get an offensive tackle. They have no option.
Well, they've got to get a left tackle, left guard, right tackle, center. Who else do they need?
Yeah,
that's just they're depleted at all positions up front.
Yeah, he'll get smacked, but, I mean, they're going to have to start. They're not going to start Andy Dalton. Andy Dalton's not going to play there anymore. And if he does, well, he's unrestricted. So, yeah.
He can go anywhere. Who's going to pick up Andy Dalton?
Well, there's a few unrestricted quarterbacks as well, so that'll be...
He'd be on the bottom of people's lists.
Yeah, I think he will be. Do you want to touch on the game... the only other sort of game, I guess, that I really wanted to touch on was the Jets and the Bills, purely because, I mean, it was a great win by the Jets, but purely because it was a game that Bills should have won and, you know, I guess made them sort of look great coming into that wild card round.
Yeah, offensively, one touchdown all game. Like, I think that game might have been a bit of a... I didn't sort of catch a whole lot of it. It just sort of looked like a bit of a stink fest. And,
Barkley started.
No, that's right. So. Yeah, they rested Josh Allen, which is probably the right thing to do, and Matt Barkley come in. And Matt Barkley isn't an awful backup. Like, if you had Matt Barkley as your backup, you'd be pretty happy, I think.
Yeah. They just looked
offensively, you know, well, clearly they were. They looked very offensively challenged. I don't know how much. I think they might have been a victim of, you know, the looking forward aspect of things as well, you know, that they couldn't get knocked out of the playoffs or anything. So they just got, right, let's just get through this game unscathed.
Yeah.
And roll on from there. You know, obviously it was the idea was to protect Josh Allen and protect him for the playoffs next week.
Yeah. They rested a couple of wide receivers too for the Buffalo Bills. So, I don't know. I mean, I get why they have to rest people.
John Brown, the rookie, is a rookie. They rested him as well. So that's, I mean, they would have been extremely offensively challenged. So that would have hurt Matt Barkley as well. Like, you know, what has he got? Yeah, you know, what's he got to throw to? So
he had Duke Williams to throw to. That was about it.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, exactly. Duke Williams. Yeah, that's a name on everyone's radar.
that was sort of the main games I wanted to touch on. Any you wanted to touch on?
The only other one that I sort of thought was an interesting game was the Packers and the Lions. Like, I think that, yeah, the Packers pulled out their get out of jail free card to get the win over Detroit. Detroit played to the best of their ability. And, you know, just sort of, and you can't even say that it was Aaron Rodgers that pulled it out of the fire. It was Adam Jones. Aaron Jones. That was the helping hand that got the Packers out of jail. I think in that one, like, Rodgers was pretty ordinary, 27 of 55. Like, that's really not the recipe for success for the Packers, for Aaron Rodgers to be thrown 55 times against a team like the Lions. Like, you know, the Lions defensively haven't been completely awful, but, you know, the Lions come out and they sprung it on them, and the Packers had to claw and fight back. I think that game ended 23-20. Yeah, correct. It was a 37-yard Mason Crosby field goal that got them the win. So to me, the Lions pushed up, I think, a fairly full strength Green Bay Packers all the way to the end. I think they were
fairly full strength.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know what to read into that. You know, with the Packers going into the playoffs in pretty ordinary form. You know, Devonta Adams had a pretty good game as well, but you know, for them to only just knock off the Lions and a last gasp field goal, you know, with the rookie Blough, however the hell you want to say his name, 12 for 29.
Yeah.
Like, it just, you know, Kerryon Johnson was back. You know, he hasn't got, he's got Marvin Jones and Kenny Golladay to throw to, but, you know, he's obviously not the answer. And you know, with Matt Stafford being out, that sort of, that stunts the Lions a little bit. But for the Lions defensively to hold out that long and only get knocked off, you know, at the finishing post by a field goal is, the Lions are going to be picking right up. I think they're going to have a top five pick next in that draft.
They'll finish number three.
The Dolphins tanked and said, "Hey everybody, look what we're doing. We're trading away all of our awesome players so we can be terrible this year." They got the number five pick. Detroit, the Giants are picking ahead of them, which is, oh my god, I get it. You know, the Dolphins finished the season 5-4.
I don't know. You're right. Detroit Lions.
After an 0-7 start, everything is going according to plan.
And a thousand first round draft picks too.
Well, that's right, exactly. Well, they're gonna have three in that first round, so.
Well, I think they're gonna have to package together if they. I don't know what they want. That's the thing. What do they want?
Five. They have. Oh, sorry, in the top 20 anyway. Yeah, they have the number 5, and then they have the number 18 from Pittsburgh.
But what do they want? What do they need? Is probably the best, probably a better way to say it. What do they need? I don't know. Protection,
and they probably need a number. Like, Devontae Parker's played pretty. They probably need a number one running back. You know, offensively, like, or they need a lot of help. They need a lot. But if they're looking at a franchise quarterback. You know, Fitzpatrick's probably going to be the bridge quarterback again. What the hell do they do with Josh Rosen? I don't know what he is. I don't know if he's good. Is he bad? What can they try? You know, they traded a second round pick for Josh Rosen. Do they try and flip him? You know, maybe for another number two. You know, get the same sort of value.
Do they throw Tua? Yeah, well.
Do they draft Tua? Tua doesn't even look like he's going to be medically cleared to do draft workouts. So, that's, I mean, we all know what Tua is, but you just, I don't know. I really don't.
I have a theory where I think he's going. But after all those games, this will be the wild card round. And plus, I guess the teams that have the bye. So, the Texans will face the Bills. The Patriots will face the Titans. The Saints will face the Vikings, which will be probably the best game, I reckon, out of all of those games. And the Eagles are facing the Seahawks. So
I think that'll be a good game because...
I think that'll be a good game. But I don't know if Seahawks meant to do it, but I'd rather play...
I just want to take the Eagles and the Vikings. I just want to take the attention off the Saints and the Vikings. The last time they met in the playoffs was a heartbreaker. So I want to take all the attention off that game. I want to know about it.
And then the teams that are getting the bye, obviously, are the 49ers, the Ravens, the Chiefs, and the Packers. So do you want to touch on sort of – well, look, we won't go into the Saints or Vikings if you don't want. I think that will be
a super game. I just have horrible memories from 2 years ago in the Minnesota Miracle. So that was obviously in Minnesota. I'm hoping
it's funny, Marcus, like
heard from that.
I just Seahawks win that last game against 49ers. They play the Vikings. They lost, so they face the Eagles. So
yeah, that's right. Yeah, oh yeah, that was a plan. That was a plan all along.
I don't know. I know who I'd rather face.
Pete Carroll, he ain't stupid.
I know who I'd rather face, and it's not the Vikings. Right. So.
Pete Carroll, he ain't stupid.
The Texans and Bills. That'll be a that's in Houston. That'll be probably a really close game, I think.
I think that'll be a good game.
And Patriots and Titans. I don't know. I think Titans, the way they're offensively playing at the moment with Tannehill and Derrick Henry, who's a beast of a player.
He's just been an animal all year.
Yes, it's at, like you said, it's at Foxborough, but man, I don't know. The Titans possibly could pull that out.
They could. I think the Patriots would be on upset alert, but teams don't just, especially teams like, you know, what did the Titans finish? Did they finish 9-7 or 8-8? Teams like that don't just walk into Foxborough and win. Like, they just don't.
No. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, I suppose that's the perfect point, until
New England show.
And
until New England show that, you know, they're going to be, the New England have shown that they're going to be vulnerable and they're going to be almost a la Peyton Manning and the Denver Broncos when they won the Super Bowl a few years ago. It's going to get done defensively, and that's really I think the only way that New England can sort of carve a path to the Super Bowl is to get it done defensively and on special teams. Because they just haven't been terrific offensively the last little while now, and they don't really have that safety blanket that a lot of quarterbacks have in a super dominant tight end. They've got Ben Watson there. They got the young kid Lacoste as well. I think they got from Denver. So they've got something, but they don't have, you know, Brady doesn't have that safety blanket like he's had in previous years in Rob Gronkowski.
No, correct. I'm assuming it's going to be freezing there too. So.
Oh my god, it's going to be so cold there. Oh,
it's going to
be horrible weather conditions.
It's crazy. It's crazy to think that I think it's just the Seahawks game. That's just, I don't know. It's crazy to think that they're away. So they'll go to, they'll play at Philadelphia. So yeah,
they'll play in Philly. They'll be used to the cold. They're used to the cold up there.
And away. So it's a massive.
Yeah, that's right.
Seattle to Philly. That's a massive trip, really.
How long can Philadelphia keep playing the way that they are with what they've got? Like, do you know what I mean?
Man,
like, it's got to come.
It's got to come
to a point where it's just not going to happen for them. Like, and I think it's going to be this week. I think Seattle's going to march in there, and I think they'll get the job done, and Philly's going to be sent packing.
So we'll move on to, well, you called it Black Sunday, so I'll go with Black Sunday.
Black Sunday night.
So all the coaches that got let go, all the coaches that were let go. So, Pat Shurmur from the Giants, 9-23 record.
I didn't think Shurmur was going to get let go, but you know, obviously they've been pretty awful, the Giants. You know, they end up getting the number four. They get the number four pick.
Yeah.
For this year's draft.
I kind of wish the NBA little bit do. I love the way the NFL do it. Like, they go on record, even a wild card in that. If you lose the Super Bowl or you win the Super Bowl, you get the last pick. I love seeing that.
Because there's so many trades and everything, get chop and changes in the NBA. It's a little different there. The NBA sort of goes on record and not if you win the championship or not. So, you know, that's sort of the little differences there, but.
Just for Pat Shurmur, yeah, I think he inherited a bad team. I don't think it's entirely his fault. Like, he had 2 years.
Not really.
Yeah.
But they end up keeping David Gettleman, like the GM. So, you know, What do you do? Like they just need protection. Like Eli Manning sort of come in and he might ride off into the sunset. He sort of come out and said that he didn't really enjoy being a backup quarterback. So he's clearly not the future. But if he goes somewhere else, where does he go? He wants to be a starter, obviously, or he's going to retire.
Well, that's right, but who would put him on as a starter? I don't see anybody putting him on as a starter. Who?
There was all the jibber jabber about the Jacksonville, but now that Tom Coughlin's gone, there's no association there, so that's out the window.
Probably be John Elway in the Denver Broncos.
He's not tall enough. No, he's not tall enough.
Nah, that's not the point.
You need to be what, 6 foot, 6 foot six, 6 foot seven for John Elway to start licking his lips.
I don't know. He loves getting those kind of quarterbacks and just saying, yeah, they might do it. I don't know.
True, but I don't think they might not be able to provide the protection for him and he just, yeah. Drew Locke has played really well over the last few weeks. I think they're going to go forward with him.
Yeah, just with the Giants, I think they need a wide. I mean, I think if they can get a decent wide receiver, I reckon that's what they need. They need someone Daniel Jones to try.
I think they've got Patriots syndrome. They've got a lot of number twos and not necessarily a number one. What hurt them this year as well is not having Evan Ingram as well. Like he was. He's a top tier tight end, and
he started
not having him basically the whole season.
Those first two games, he was the number one tight end before he got injured, so he was the number one. So,
Darius Slayton, Sterling Shepard, guys like that, they're number twos. But like you said, they need a top tier number one.
Well, for like a wide receiver,
they don't come by every draft though.
Oh, Jerry Jeudy from Alabama. He's the first one that came off my head.
That's right. Well, that's me.
Oh, man, I'd love to see.
But who's to say Washington don't take him?
If they don't take Chase Young, they are absolutely ridiculous. If they don't take Chase Young at number two, they have that Dan Snyder has no idea. I feel like Ron, we'll talk about that later. Yeah,
well,
but
if they don't, who's to say Detroit don't take him at number three?
Who, Chase Young? Oh, of course, they would. But I'm just saying, Redskins have to take Chase Young because Joe Burrow will be going to Bengals. I think the Redskins have to. So Freddie Kitchens gone from the Browns. Oh, he's a one and done.
He was a dead man walking.
So he can't say he inherited a bad team. He inherited a great team, but he just I don't know what happened.
I don't know. I just think out of after 16 or 17 weeks of football, you would get over yourselves, all the hype that went into the season, and then all of a sudden when you realize you're a bad team, it's just like, okay, we're a bad team.
Yeah.
But like I said earlier, whether it's Baker Mayfield, whether it's scheming, it's made two pretty damn good offensive weapons in Jarvis Landry and Odell Beckham Jr. Like Jarvis Landry looked better than OBJ, but they made two pretty good offensive weapons look real ordinary this year. And
Tyreek Hill coming back week seven or week eight. You had Nick Chubb had a great season.
Kareem Hunt. They just had a plethora of riches. I think it was a matter of. Geez, look at what I've got to work with, and it's too much.
Yeah,
it was too much.
For somebody
who was essentially the quarterback's coach, like he wasn't even the offensive coordinator or anything of that. He was the QB coach, and he's coming as a rookie head coach. When you think of you go back to a few years ago when you look you look at a coach like Sean Payton, where he's got a plethora of riches to sort of go to. He's got Mark Ingram, Alvin Kamara, Michael Thomas. He's got weapons everywhere, but he has got the experience to use them. Whereas Freddie Kitchens, he's got too many options. He didn't know what to do with them.
Do they do the Browns go over after them now an offensive coordinator? Because I mean, the first person that popped into my head was the Patriots one, that Josh McDaniels.
Straight
away.
And there's a lot of talk now that he's turned down a lot of head coaching jobs.
Yeah.
He's and they're saying that he's better off. He'll get a job, but it's going to be, you know, Tom Brady's at the back end. So is he better off trying to take a head coaching job now?
I think
Matt Patricia got out a couple of years ago. You know, there's a lot of disciples of Bill Belichick running around now, Bill O'Brien, Mike Vrabel, you know, guys like that sort of have gotten out and they've got their head coaching job. And, you know, not to say that they're stable, but, you know, they're fairly, you don't think that Detroit's going to let Matt Patricia go anytime soon. So, you know, they've got their jobs now and they should be able to stick with those teams for a little while. So, is Josh McDaniels going to be the OC there or is he going to be the head coach?
I don't know. I think you're right. I think if he needs to get a head coaching job, I think he should get it now while Tom Brady is playing now.
He needs to get out now. And what will he be able to do? Like you said, with the plethora of riches that they've got there, you'd hope that he would be able to utilize those guys properly. That sort of offense should scare the absolute living bleep out of people.
That's exactly right. And I think if Baker Mayfield has another season like that, I think he's done there. I think that, I think he came into it some hype and yeah, everyone like went so crazy. Yeah, he had a great first year. He didn't really have a good first year.
No, it's not. He the record was there, but yeah. The teams that they beat weren't, because the teams that they beat, like they were all in Ohio.
Yeah.
The teams that they beat, because they beat Cincinnati at the end of the season as well, but they were all under 500 teams. Like, yep. That was the thing. Like, it was, okay, yes, he's got the record. He's got the W's on the board, but they were against terrible teams.
That's exactly right. It
was something along the lines of, you know, he had four or five wins, and they were all in the state of Ohio. It was bizarre.
Their next coach was, I don't know, I feel like it was a bit weird, but Ron Rivera got let go from the Panthers.
Yeah.
Left on a winning record.
I understand it. Yeah, I understand it. But that's the matter of a new owner coming in he's probably not, you know, he's not the guy I hired. It's going to be, you know, we've had a pretty rotten season, the Carolina Panthers. So it's a matter of, okay, I'm going to get in a guy that I want.
Well, that's the thing. Which kind of sucks for him. So apparently he held, you're right, the new owner's coming and he's trying to build his image, which is fine. He owns his side.
Yeah, that's right. You know.
He held an hour-long town hall meeting after Rivera's firing, discussed his plans for the team going forward. Apparently, he's trying to do like...
Did people fall asleep in that press conference or...?
No, it was a town hall meeting, so I don't know what it was. But apparently, the way they said it came out of it is that he's interested in building someone like a Sean McVay kind of mold. So,
oh, great! So he's going to be going after the next young whiz kid in college.
I think so. Yeah, someone that's offensive minded that loves analytics. I think that's the way it's going.
He's not going to be able to pry someone like Lincoln Riley or somebody like that from Oklahoma. Like, he's not going to go. He's not going to go and coach Carolina.
No. But, I guess we'll see. Well, again, Josh McDaniels, he could end up there.
Well, that's right. But who's going to be the quarterback?
Well, that's right. Who is going to be the quarterback? That's exactly right. I don't know. Well, that's right. What happens to Newton now? What do you think happens to Newton now? Because he's got a very, very tradable contract. Very tradable.
No, that's right. So Carolina has the 7th pick.
Correct.
In the draft. So who's still going to be on the board at that point in time, quarterback-wise? Like, you just don't know.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I feel if I'm reading sort of mock drafts that I have been reading, I mean, look, we won't keep going on about it, but Joe Burrow is lock number one. I mean, that's pretty cut and dry, obviously. I don't think that's going to change. But, I mean, after Tua, if Tua goes in the top five, who else do you throw in there, really?
There's the kid at Oregon State, Justin Herbert, who a lot of people have got high praise of.
But do you don't think stick with Kyle Allen?
I don't think he's the future. You could probably start him, I don't think he's the future.
Yeah. Ron Rivera, obviously. Ron Rivera won't take long to find a job. I mean, it's Ron Rivera, so I'm sure someone will pick him up pretty easily. Jay Gruden from the Washington Redskins lost his – yeah, so they fired him as well.
Well, they fired him early in the season, so I think he's going to be – he'll get a coordinator's job somewhere.
Yeah.
I'm not 100% sure where. But, yeah, Ron Rivera, I think it's sort of come out late this week that Ron Rivera has been signed as the Redskins coach. And what he's going to do is he's going to take on Jack Del Rio, who's been an analyst for ESPN. He's going to take on him as the defensive coordinator. So they've got those two things sorted out at the Redskins.
Yep.
So you can scratch – those teams. I don't know. Like you said, you know, with Carolina, I don't know where they go. You know, Washington's looking for a coach after they fired Jay Gruden. Who's out there and who's going to want to take on the dumpster fire of the Redskins?
Well, I mean, do we look at Ron Rivera? Well, can he become the head coach?
Ron Rivera. Yeah, sorry, my bad. Yeah, Ron Rivera's come in, but he just I don't know what he can do there. You know, talent wise.
Well, they're going to have
they'll have an interesting draft. They'll have the number two pick.
That's right.
So what are they going to pick from?
Well, I've just seen enough of that Chase Young from Ohio State. They have to pick him.
I don't think there's an option. I think they do have to pick him.
I think
they've got their quarterback in Dwayne Haskins, Terry McLaurin, who's the young kid receiver that's there. If they can keep Darius Geis healthy, which seems to be a little bit more difficult than what they think, at running back, they've got decent offensive weapons there. If he can protect Dwayne Haskins, okay, Case Keenum's obviously probably going to be their bridge quarterback there, you know, a decent backup.
Yeah.
So if they can sort of keep Dwayne Haskins protected, I think this year will help Haskins next year. Like, he's looked pretty ordinary this year until the last couple of weeks. So hopefully that sort of progresses his development along a little bit. Ron Rivera is obviously a defensive-minded coach.
Yeah.
And getting Jack Del Rio to come in as their defensive coordinator, I think their draft this year is going to be very defensive heavy.
A la Chase Young.
I mean,
we are talking about Dan Snyder. Dan Snyder, you know, is a, well, I'll say it, he's just a rotten owner. He's doing nothing for that risk. Well, he controlled the draft last year. And, I don't know. I'm not completely sold on Dwayne Haskins, but I guess getting the number two, they have to take Chase Young. I couldn't think of any other team any other player that they could pick after Joe Burrow.
If Joe Burrow goes number one to Cincinnati, which everybody thinks will happen, then Chase Young, with Ron Rivera and Jack Del Rio there.
Yeah.
They're going to go defensive heavy, I think.
So that's all the coaches that have officially been let go.
what do you mean? Who, who's who's a coach that's unofficially been fired? Like, I don't know what you mean.
Well, I mean, a coach of a team that
is there a big star on their logo?
Yeah, I think so. so we won't touch on Jason Garrett because we'll probably run another 20 minutes on this podcast. So he hasn't been officially fired yet.
He
hasn't
been officially sacked yet.
When he gets fired,
he's had about 400 meetings with the Jones family. And I think they're finding it hard to get rid of him because they've got a really good rapport together. So I think the emotional attachment to Jason Garrett is tough for Jerry Jones anyway for them to get to axe him.
Well, that's what I think. I think what's going to happen personally. So I looked into I Googled it. Jason Garrett's contract runs out on January 11th. I think because they obviously are such good friends, I don't think he fires him. I just think he lets the contract run out.
Lets it go and becomes a free agent. Yeah, and then just goes, look, it's January 12th and we haven't signed you, so bye-bye.
Basically, you're a free agent, so you decide what you want to do because we're not going to sign you. So and I guess that stops the humiliation of him getting fired. And that's where I think it's going to go. But
yeah.
So maybe he won't get fired.
That's the thing. Who do they look at? Oh my
God, I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of names getting thrown around there, like the guy from Ohio State. I've lost his name now.
My God, I've just lost his name.
Hey.
Oh my God, I've just lost his name as well. Oh my God. Feeble memory. Don't kill me now.
I need to find it because it's like there on the. Well, I mean, I'll throw
Urban
one name.
Urban Meyer. Oh my God. Yeah, Urban Meyer. Yeah. My bad. Urban Meyer. That's him. Yeah.
I that's one that I look at. I mean.
Wow, that was terrible.
Do they look at someone like Mike McCarthy?
There's rumors floating around about the coach from the Baylor Bears, Matt Rhule.
Yeah.
There's always things getting floated around about the Oklahoma coach, Lincoln Riley. You know, there's the offensive genius. You know, he is. You know, in the supposed Sean McVay role. Yeah. He would be getting a very handsome salary from Oklahoma. So it's the fact that it's going to be the Dallas Cowboys, you know, and the luster and the America's team and the big star in the middle of the field, and that will draw somebody like that there. But I don't see Lincoln Riley going there. I could maybe see somebody like Matt Rhule going there because Baylor is in Texas. So that wouldn't be far for him to get moved. There was all this BS sort of talk about, if Sean Payton wins a Super Bowl with the Saints this year, and, you know, fingers crossed that we all hope that happens, that he would move because he's a Texas guy. He lives in the Dallas area. There's a lot of rumors floating around that he would go. He's not a puppet.
No.
Sean Payton's not a puppet.
No.
That Jerry Jones wants.
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense.
I mean, it's going to be whoever they end up picking. The first thing to me that they need to do is work out these goddamn contracts for Dak Prescott and Amari Cooper. So once they get...
I've heard Todd Bowles to go there. Yeah, that's what I mean. It's just everything being floated around because it's the Dallas Cowboys.
But the reason I touched on Prescott and Cooper, because if they sign Prescott and Cooper to, and they're going to get big deals,
that's going to eat the salary cap up.
That's exactly right. That's going to, and then so do you want, you know, to go into a team where the 2020 season is going to be, I guess, a bit of a skeleton of the one or two seasons of salary cap? Because,
well, this is going to be the team that they're going to go forward with. They're not going to make any big moves. Is Amari Cooper and Amari Cooper's the number one receiver, right? Like he's the number one receiver. is Dak Prescott going to get paid too much this year, this off season? And I say yes, yes, unbelievably yes. I think if he gets north of $30 million, I think that's too much.
I don't know. He had a great season. He finished first in the most receiving yards. Most passing yards. But I feel like they.
I still think record comes into it, and they didn't make the playoffs.
Do they franchise tag him? Because that's my gut feeling, or do they pay him?
I think they'll franchise him next year.
Yeah.
And then maybe look, once they've got him out of the shadows of a Jason Garrett as a head coach. It's Kellen Moore, isn't it? The offensive coordinator there, if they decide to keep Kellen Moore as the offensive coordinator, get another head coach in, because they've got the roster.
If you're a free agent coach, out of all these teams that have lost their coaches, if you're a free agent coach, you know that is a roster you'd love to play with. Surely,
of course.
I mean, I know there's Jerry Jones and the whole hype of Dallas Cowboys, but yeah, you'd love to have that side to play with.
Of course you would,
because you know they can make a run with it.
Wouldn't you love to have an offense with that includes Dak Prescott, Amari Cooper, and Ezekiel Elliott?
Yeah, that's exactly. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it's crazy.
Well, Zeke finished number. I still couldn't work it out. I mean, say he finished. Did he finish number one in the in rushing yards, or was that Derrick Henry?
No, that was Derrick Henry. I think it was Derrick Henry for a long shot. I think he had 1,500 odd yards this rushing season. I'm pretty sure I checked his stats. It's like 1,590 yards rushing, but he only had 200 odd receiving yards, which I thought was a little low. I thought he would have had a lot more receiving yards than that, but they just used him as a battering ram.
Yeah, correct.
Which is he's a big dude. Like that's what he does.
Did you have a start and dud of the week?
Perfect little segue on there. I think Derrick Henry was an absolute animal. He just obliterated the Texans.
Yeah,
absolutely.
That was ridiculous. There was no other person that I could think of.
211 yards. Like, you know, 32 rushing attempts. Like, that's to me, he's a battering ram.
Did you have a dud of the week then?
Look, as much, you know, this is my team and everything of that, and as much as I loved seeing the Saints beat the absolute living crap out of the Carolina Panthers, I didn't like the fact that Sean Payton and the guys there didn't sit Breeze for the fourth quarter. Get Teddy Bridgewater some reps coming into the playoffs, because you just don't know. Like, I found it bizarre, but Bridgewater had one pass. I was stunned. Like,
considering how
I was just stunned that they were absolutely just piling on the points against Carolina. You just don't go. Look, you know, Drew. Okay, you've missed your few games throughout the season, but we cannot risk you being hurt in the fourth quarter of a meaningless game that we're just beating the absolute living piss out of the team that we're playing. Let's just put Teddy in there. Let him get some first team reps.
Well, look how good of a season Teddy Bridgewater's had.
Exactly.
He deserved to play that last game at the very least.
Get him to play the fourth quarter. Get him to play two or three drives in the fourth quarter. I couldn't understand it. It's beyond my comprehension. And I don't like to heap a lot of crap on Sean Payton. I just thought that just didn't make any sense to me, because if Drew Brees got hurt, in that fourth quarter in a meaningless game, then he would have just got crucified by the media about that. It just did not make any sense. Get Teddy in there, get him some reps with the first team, and get him active, because you just don't know what's going to happen in the playoffs.
That's exactly right.
I just found that bizarre.
My dud of the week was, I don't know, just Bill Belichick. I think he took that game way too lightly. Especially even the post conference, he just refused to acknowledge that they lost to the Dolphins and said, "Yeah, no, we're just preparing for the Titans."
Why would you want to acknowledge that?
Which is a classic Bill Belichick thing to do, but correct. I just think they took him way too lightly, and I think from his coaching, I think they suffered, and it shows because they missed out in the first round bye. So.
Right, yeah, that is such a crucial game for them. And to say that, yes, New England versus Miami was a crucial game, it was. And it ended up being a crucial game because now they've got to play in wildcard weekend.
One thing I wanted to finish on, because I need to hear your thoughts on it. Say they lose next week against Titans. What happens to Tom Brady?
Oh my God! Brady has come out and said he wants to play until he's 45, so he thinks he's still got three more seasons left in him. He's 42. I honestly can't see him in any other jersey other than the one with a Patriot logo on it. I think that not that it can't happen. Yeah, you know, look at Peyton Manning. I honestly can't see Tom Brady coming back. I think if they lose to Tennessee next week, that's just going to spur him on. And apparently in Brady's contract, he can't be franchised or anything like that. So that would have to bring him back on a 1-year deal. He's essentially going into this offseason, if their season ends next week. But he's essentially going into this offseason as a free agent.
He's an unrestricted free agent too.
Right.
So my theory is, and who I think will go after him, and with a lot of money, is the LA Chargers.
For two reasons. Philip Rivers is going into this offseason as an unrestricted free agent as well, and he has just been pooped this year.
Two reasons, I think of what I've read, I think Tom Brady likes the LA lifestyle. Like he likes the warmer weather. Apparently they've been looking for houses in LA. But two, the main reason, I think, because next year the Chargers will move into their new stadium, that SoFi Stadium at Hollywood Park. So imagine if they can get, if they say, Tom Brady, we'll give you 2 years, $60 million, and they can just have his face everywhere in that stadium. Yeah. It would just be a marketing ploy.
That marketing would just be out of control. Could you see an almost direct swap? It won't be a trade. Could you see Philip Rivers starting as the New England Patriots quarterback? Philip Rivers is only, he's only 37 or 38?
Yeah.
If they can protect Philip Rivers, then who's to say that he couldn't come into New England and start straight up? They're not going to start Jarrett Stidham. Stidham.
Yeah. It's hard to see Tom Brady not in a Patriots jersey, but the same thing was said
about Peyton. With a lightning bolt on the side of his jersey, it just doesn't make it. It'd look horrible. But I think that's to me that they need to protect him. And I think the Chargers have got, what have they got? Have they got the sixth? They've got the sixth pick.
Yeah.
In the 2020 draft. So.
I mean,
they need to provide protection for him too, because you know, and the thing is too with the Chargers, if they keep who they've got there now, you know, what happens to Melvin Gordon? They've got Austin Eckler, they've got Keenan Allen, they've got some good receivers there.
That's
so
right. That's exactly why I think Melvin Gordon. I just think
if they can get Tom Brady, man, he'd love to throw and play with those guys. Because it feels right. I'm not saying it's going to be right, but it feels right. And if they don't, I think the Chargers go after a quarterback in the draft. I think they will definitely go after a quarterback in the draft.
Well, it's the young kid from Ohio State, Justin Fields, could still be on the board when the Chargers pick at six. But if they score Tom Brady and can get 2 years out of Tom Brady, and they provide the right protection for him, then they've got decent receiver. They've got some terrific receivers there in LA that they could utilize, and Tom Brady could utilize.
It's just two little things just fit in. Like he's from the West Coast. I'm sure he loves the West Coast lifestyle. There's probably billions of Patriots fans everywhere, most likely West Coast.
I'm sure there is.
And Keenan Allen would just be, it'd probably be the best wide receiver he's ever thrown to, you would think.
It would be one of the better receivers that he's thrown to in a few years.
Oh, I think so. So
consistently, anyway, you know.
It's a long shot, but then I never thought Peyton Manning would go to another side. So there you go.
No, well, that's it. Indianapolis is essentially just threw him on the trash pile and said, well, you know, you've had your back surgeries and your neck fusion surgeries and everything. So we're not willing to take that risk anymore. And, you know, have a look at it. Was it the first or second year? He was in Denver. He threw for like 50 touchdowns. So I bet Indianapolis would have liked that.
I guess that'll do it with us going over the hour mark, but that's fine because there was a lot to talk about in that last week.
That's right.
Don't forget to follow us on all the socials, Facebook, Twitter, and SoundCloud. Twitter's at the Final Play Pod, and just use a search engine in Facebook and it comes up Final Play Podcast, because there is no other Final Play Podcast.
That's right. We are the one and only Final Play Podcast.
That's right. My name's Jason. Enjoy your wild card round
weekend. Wild card round, baby. It's going to be awesome. I can't wait to get up at 4 a.m. on Monday morning to watch the Saints. It's going to be terrific.
And hopefully the Patriots lose, because no one wants to see the Patriots and the Eagles too.
Oh, man,
I know I didn't touch on the Eagles, but I don't want the Eagles.
Yeah, that's your NFC East bias. Like, that's all that is.
It's their fault that Cowboys not in, so yeah, boo.
No, it's the Cowboys' fault that they're not in.
It's Jason Garrett's fault.
Just all Jason Garrett's fault. That's what it is.
Have a good week, everyone. Peace.
Have a good week, everyone. Wild card round, baby. Let's get it on.
Let's get it on.
Get it on. Yay, yay.